Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Jason Watts welcomes a conference room full of OBGYN nurses at Thundermist Community Health Center with a simple question.
How many folks in here have worked with trans patients?
One hand goes up. That's a familiar starting place for Watts, who is himself a transgender man. But he tells them that's going to change now that Thundermist has launched a trans health program. He's been hired to manage it, and part of his job is training staff.
So I want to make sure that you all feel comfortable and are prepared if you have a trans person that shows up in your care. How do we talk to them? How do we answer questions? How do we ask questions? How do we talk about body parts? How do we have these sensitive conversations?
Nurses are usually pretty comfortable with body parts. But Watts says for transgender patients, they can be a source of anxiety. Imagine what it's like for a transgender man, someone who is assigned the female sex at birth but who identifies as male, who comes to an OBGYN clinic.
Trans folks, particularly trans people who own vaginas and cervixes, need to access women's health services. And those experiences can be really uncomfortable and could be somewhat traumatizing based on experiences people have had before.
Watts walks the staff through some basics about transgender people, from what it means to be transgender to the varieties of ways people transition, whether it's changing their legal name, asking people to use a different pronoun, or getting hormone therapy or surgery.
This person is male-identified.
Thundermist is undergoing its own transition to become more welcoming for transgender patients, a group Thundermist CEO Chuck Jones says has been underserved.
The trans health community faces some very, very serious disparities in health.
Jones says he began to realize just how serious the disparities are after a couple of doctors on staff raised the issue. For instance, studies show a big percentage of trans patients put off going to the doctor because they're worried about discrimination.
Over 40% of them have attempted to commit suicide by some reports. And a good number experience issues with the competency of their healthcare providers, or friendliness, or even willingness of healthcare providers to treat them.
Some providers want to care for trans patients, but don't know how. So Jones and his staff organized clinical training for doctors and nurses. They changed all the bathroom signs, no more men only or women only symbols. It's a work in progress, he says, but word is getting out. Now the health center sees several new trans patients a month, patients like Elliot, a young trans man.
And I kind of stumbled across Thundermist when I came to urgent care with my wife, and we saw transgender as an option on the patient intake form.
We won't use Elliot's last name to protect his medical privacy. He recalls that moment as he chats with his doctor, Anna Phillip, in an exam room. Dr. Phillip says that patient intake form, that's more significant than it sounds when it comes to making patients feel comfortable.
It is the day-to-day, and it is the details, like Elliot said. It's having the option to identify yourself as you see yourself on every form, with every person that you meet, and to have that identity respected.
And once you build trust with a patient, Dr. Phillip says, you can have the difficult conversations, which are not all about hormones or surgery. Phillip says she spends most of her time counseling her trans patients about preventive medicine.
And making sure that the body that they have is taken care of until it becomes the body that they want. Making sure that they are getting the preventive health care that should be done, like pap smears or mammograms or testicular exams when they might not want to have those body parts.
Elliot says he's had some less than welcoming experiences in other doctors' offices, but he plans to stick with Dr. Phillip for regular checkups and the specialized care he needs to maintain his identity.
With the hormones, there's a lot of blood work when first getting started, making sure levels are good in your body, making sure they're not affecting other things that are going on. And so it's a lot of frequent doctor's visits, so it's really important that you have somebody that you actually want to spend a lot of time with.
This is a core issue, and people are not learning anything about it at all in medical school.
This is Dr. Madeline Deutsch. She runs a Center for Transgender Health at the University of California, San Francisco. Deutsch says data on transgender demographics is a bit hard to come by, but the population can't be ignored.
1 in 200 people in this country, we believe, exist somewhere on some kind of transgender or gender nonconforming spectrum. That is approximately equal to the population in the U.S. of people of Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander descent.
Deutsch has developed a protocol for primary care doctors' offices to follow when taking care of transgender patients. It's the roadmap Thundermist followed to transform its clinic. And Deutsch says that as transgender issues become more visible, she's getting more calls from clinics that want to do the same. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.